Let's get a recap of some of the town meeting day results from yesterday. We're joined now by VPR's Liam Elder Connors and Amy Noyes. Liam was mostly watching Burlington and Chittenden County, and Amy had her eye on central Vermont. Hi, Liam. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Let's get to something that affects all towns, Amy, first of all. So what do we know so far about school budgets?
Well, the latest information we have from the Vermont School Boards Association is that 135 school budgets have been approved and 5 have been defeated. Results aren't in for 2 school districts, and there are still 20 districts that will be voting at a later date. And the reason why there are so many voting at a later date is because of all the changes and mergers with Act 46 this year.
Okay, more to come on school budgets as we dissect these results over time. Liam, you spent a lot of time following the Burlington mayoral election. There was a lot of interest in that and what would happen. Incumbent Mayor Moreau Weinberger won a third term, but he also ended up with less than 50% of the vote. Is that a big deal or not?
Well, I mean, he still won. He got 48% of the vote. So, I mean, I think that's probably a pretty exciting night for him.
And but it was a three-way race.
It was a three-way race, but it was a tough campaign. And Weinberger acknowledged that in his victory speech and talking to reporters last night after his speech. And, you know, I think the fact that he didn't get 50% shows how strong the campaigns of Infinite Kel Klesger and Karina Driscoll were in really going after his record. You know, this is his third term. And so he has to kind of answer for what he's done. And when you do stuff, sometimes people don't like it and they're going to vote against you. So I think this showed that not everyone in the city likes the direction that Weinberger is taking things, but enough people like his messages of development in the city and, you know, increasing and, you know, stabilizing the city's finances that they wanted to keep him in for another term.
Another result out of Burlington is that in the city council, all of the incumbents who ran again were reelected. Was that a surprise?
You know, I guess not really. You know, there's an incumbency bias. I think just all around the state, incumbents usually win. And, you know, with stuff going on in Burlington, the Burlington telecom sale, there was a lot of fervor around that. Some people really upset with the result of that. And so there's a thought maybe some challenging candidates would win those seats, but it really didn't end up happening. All the incumbents got well over 50% of the vote, and they all were voted in. There was one kind of close race in Ward 8. UVM sophomore was running against the incumbent, and turnout there was 50% higher than it had been the last time that seat was open. So people were excited about that race, and it was just pretty interesting to watch that, how it all turned out.
Amy, one of the things that you were watching in central Vermont was this question of central Vermont internet. And this was a group of several towns voting on forming a communications district for publicly run high-speed internet. So what were the results?
Well, it was voted on in 12 towns out of 13, and all 12 towns passed it. So this union district will be formed, and the idea is to run high-speed internet in all of the member towns. And the one town that didn't vote on it was Barrytown, because they actually don't hold their town meeting until May. So this new district won't have its first organizational meeting until after Barrytown votes in May.
We did an interview on Vermont Edition with the founder of Central Vermont Internet, and we'll put a link up to that on the Vermont Edition page for people who are interested in learning a little bit more about it. Amy, you were also watching a climate change resolution that was taken up by about a few dozen towns. What was included in that, and how did they vote?
Well, it looked a little different in every town. It was put out there by 350 Vermont. It was a non-binding resolution. It passed in 35 towns. They were thinking 36 towns would be voting on it, but it wasn't taken up in Rupert and Northfield. And then Greensboro did take it up as a surprise to the organization. A couple of towns took language out of it. That language would have banned new or expanding fossil fuel infrastructure.
Like gas pipelines?
Exactly, like gas pipelines. So that was a hot-button issue in at least a couple towns. But even the towns that took that out passed the part of it about striving to reach the state's goal of 90% renewables.
What does that actually do, passing this resolution in
Nothing.
These towns?
No, I shouldn't say that. it sends a message to the state. That's what it's intended to do, to both send a message to state lawmakers, but also get people thinking about renewables and what they can do on a personal and on a town level.
Speaking of things that were designed to send a message, Liam, you were looking at a question about F-35s, the fighter jets that are set to be based at Burlington. And there was a question about F-35s on the Burlington ballot. What was the question?
So the question was also an advisory question, and what it did was it asked the city council and the city of Burlington to basically ask the Air Force not to put the F-35 fighter jets at Burlington International Airport. And so the question, again, is advisory, so it's non-binding, and it also is asking the city council to make a request to the Air Force. So it's a little confusing. There's a couple of steps to walk through, but basically the gist of it is that it passed. 55% of the city voted for it, which sends a signal that people are concerned with the F-35s coming to Burlington and would like the city perhaps to ask the Air Force not to base them there. The question is that going to happen? The Air Force or the Vermont Air National Guard has said that the F-35 is coming, and you know they've already done millions of dollars of work to get ready for it. And last night, Mayor Weinberger said, we owe it to the city to talk about this, since residents said that they would like us to talk about it and maybe make this request. But he's kind of skeptical that anything will really come of it.
And he's still reaffirming his support for the F-35. He's said, I support the F-35s. I'll look into it because you want me to, but I support the F-35s.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Last night when he was asked about it, he had, just won. He also hadn't heard about the result coming. We were kind of telling him about it as he, so I think he was trying to figure it out. It's really unclear, though, what's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see if the council takes it up and what steps the city take going forward.
Yeah, and you can listen to Mayor Weinberger's conversation with Mitch Wortlieb from Morning Edition this morning for more on that. Liam, something else that was on the ballot of several municipalities in Chittenden County was a question about establishing a regional emergency dispatch center. Tell us about that.
All right. So this establishes a municipal union district, which is a way for the towns to team up and provide a service. And what this would be, it would create one regional dispatch center where 911 calls would come into, and then dispatchers would send out emergency services. And so this passed in 6 of the 7 towns that were considering it. And it's really just the first step. It's providing a structure for the towns to officially come together and start talking about what would this regional dispatch center look like? How would it work? Basically, what's it going to do exactly? They've been talking about making it, and now they have the governance structure for it, and now they're going to figure out the details. So there's still a lot more work to do on it. There's still another vote that the city councils and select boards have to do to actually fund it and make it work. But more to come. There's at least the structure for it.
Amy, in Barrie City, a local option tax was considered for the 4th time this year. What's the proposal? And fourth time's a charm?
Fourth time's a charm. Yes. The proposal was for a local option tax on rooms, meals, and alcoholic beverages. So the first 2 times the city tried to pass this, there was also a sales tax involved. So last year they came back, they cut out the sales tax, and it failed by 22 votes. So they thought that was close enough to try again. And according to the unofficial results sent out last night, it passed by 22 votes.
The irony. So this means now, once this goes through, if you're dining out in Barrie City, you're going to see a little local options tax, and that goes back to the town. So people who are eating or sleeping in Barrie will be seeing that, and it doesn't necessarily fall on all the residents equally in the form of a property tax.
That's exactly right. And the money is earmarked to go towards new paving projects, street paving projects, and sidewalk replacement projects.
As we talked about yesterday on Monday on Vermont Edition, there are sometimes our ballot items in town meetings that are sort of philosophical in nature, less based on whether or not to get a new fire truck or bond for a new fire truck, and more based on the culture and the positions of a town, and sometimes the political positions. And Amy, the town of Johnson gave a vote of no confidence to the administration of President Donald Trump. So this is sort of representative of one of those more social or cultural movements. What was the discussion like at the meeting?
Well, it was passionate on both sides, as you might imagine. One village trustee actually moved to postpone the question indefinitely. And when that motion failed, a lot of the people who didn't want to see this pass left the meeting. It was 8.5 hours long, the town meeting. So you can understand why they might leave. But anyway, it did pass in the end by about a 3-1 margin.
And there's one more result from Duxbury that you wanted to tell us about.
Yeah, I think everyone should know that Zeb Town was reelected to his 1-year term as dog catcher in Duxbury. And I should mention, Zeb claims to be the only elected dog catcher in the United States. And no one has disputed that.
All right. Well, that's Amy Noyce and Liam Elder Connors, who have been giving us the lay of the land from the town meetings that they covered. Thanks very much to both of you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jane.
And of course, that is not even close to all the results from town meeting day. We're still tabulating results, and you can follow all of our coverage online at vpr.net.